They had it all. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was a place of paradise. Adam and Eve had no guilt. They had no shame. Adam and Eve had no financial debt. They had no disease. They had no neighbors. Somebody may be even thinking they had no kids. It was a perfect situation. It was a place of paradise. But things would quickly change when Eve had a conversation with the serpent. The devil came along, and the devil would deceive Adam and Eve in the garden. I read a blog recently by a brother in Christ, and he made some good points about this story, about what took place with that interaction between Eve and the serpent. And I want to read something that he said here. He said, quote, "Satan was able to put Eve in a downward spiral. The starting point of this downward spiral was a credibility that Eve allowed Satan to have. She had no history with him. She had no reference point in her past that she could say, he was right about that and he might be right about this. Satan had not blessed her. Satan had not helped her. Satan had not been there for her. God had. God had made Eve and the garden and had a relationship with her and with Adam. And she had reference points in her past that she could say, God has been right and good to us," end quote. That was pretty powerful to me, because despite all the things that Eve had and knew about God and the blessings that God had given to both her and to her husband Adam, she still, along with Adam, would listen to the devil. And we know the rest of the story. Despite not having any reference points with respect to the devil, Adam and Eve tossed the truth for a lie. The devil got them to believe into the something else argument, that even though God had given them everything, that there was something else that they were missing out on. And if they would just listen to him, then they would really be able to experience life. And they bought into the lie. I think Adam and Eve had a spirit of discontent, and that the devil helped them to have a spirit of discontent, that they forgot all the blessings that God had given them during that time. They were no longer satisfied. They were no longer thankful or grateful with what God had given them. They got greedy, and a spirit of ungratefulness would cost them everything. And I often wonder, how often does the devil try to attack us in that manner? Where, when you really think about it, we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? That we are so blessed and that we are so privileged as the people of God, and yet, if not careful, the devil can get us to have a spirit where we're not really grateful, where we're not always content and satisfied, and we're not truly thankful with what we have in Jesus Christ. Let me ask everyone a question this morning. How thankful are you right now? How thankful are you with the blessings you have in Jesus Christ? I know there's lots of reasons for us to be thankful. I know some of us are going to be thankful because we're no longer, it's a weekend, or school is out for the summertime. The 4th of July weekend is going to be here before we know it. We have some reasons to be thankful, but our mentality and the mindset that we are supposed to have should not just be based upon, I'm thankful because of this, or I'm thankful because of that. It really is supposed to be a way of life for us as the children of God. Being thankful should be a part of our Christian DNA. And really, when we think about this mindset of being thankful, the Apostle Paul would take it one step further. I want you to open up your Bible to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. This is something that maybe we don't always think about as much as we should, and that is that we are to have this mindset, not just some of the time, not just because it's summer vacation or because we're going on a vacation or a holiday or something like that, but God really wants us to be thankful all the time. He wants us to have this mindset of being thankful. And I guess we could describe this as sometimes being the forgotten command, that God wants his people to have this type of disposition where we are thankful. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, Paul would say, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be" what? Be thankful. Paul wouldn't stop there. He would remind the saints in verse number 16. He would say, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." As you worship God, do it with the spirit of thanksgiving. And he wouldn't stop there. In verse 17, watch what he said. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In all that we do, that is the mindset that we are to have. We are to be thankful. Drop down to chapter 4 and look at verse number 2. Paul would go on, he would say, devote yourselves to prayer, keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Time and time again, the Apostle Paul would remind the Christians that this is who they are supposed to be, that they are supposed to be thankful in all things, and that certainly applies to us. And we've been talking a lot this weekend about the devil and spiritual warfare. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 with the young people this Friday and this Saturday and even today, and reminded ourselves of that, the fact that we are in a spiritual battle, that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but we are in a battle against the evil one, the tempter, the accuser, the devil, Satan. And Satan wants to destroy us. And one of the ways sometimes I think he may try to attack us is by having a spirit of discontent, by never truly being satisfied with who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And so today I want to talk about maybe an overlooked tactic that we haven't thought about as much as we should as we strive to defeat our adversary and as we strive to keep our minds focused, and that is learning to truly be thankful. I got to tell you, I am thankful for being here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity that I've had this past weekend and the fact that the congregation gave me this opportunity. I was supposed to be here in April, and we had a death in the family, and I appreciate the opportunity of being here this past weekend and spending time with all of the young people and as we talk about a very important subject. And so I want us to consider for a few minutes this idea of being thankful. I think there are a lot of parallels between Adam and Eve and with us, because it can become very easy for us to almost become greedy and to not fully appreciate what we already have in Jesus Christ. And if the devil can get our minds off of Jesus, if he can get our minds off of what we already have and who we are, then he can deceive us and cause us to go after that something else that he allowed, or that he got Adam and Eve to go after too. And so there are a couple of questions I want us to consider as we talk about this idea of being thankful. And the first question is this: why should we be thankful? Paul reminded the saints, you be thankful. It was a command, be thankful. But why do we need to be thankful? Well, the obvious answer is, well, because of Jesus, because of everything that Jesus has done. And somebody may be thinking to themselves, well, duh, yeah, that's, we know that. Thanks for sharing what we already know to be true. But Adam and Eve knew a lot, didn't they? They knew the blessings of God. They were able to enjoy all the wonderful benefits that God had given them, and yet they still took that for granted. And the same thing happened to us, even though we know the right answer, that we should be thankful because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. What's interesting, when you look in the book of Colossians, as Paul was talking about this mindset of being thankful, he reminded the Christians why they should be thankful. He reminded them of their journey of being delivered from the bondage of sin into God's marvelous light. I want you to look at in Colossians chapter 1, Paul reminded them in verses 5 and 6 how they had heard and believed and obeyed the truth. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard, and the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. They had been taught the gospel, and they were buried into Christ through baptism. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12, Paul reminded them, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. The Apostle Paul reminded them why they needed to be thankful and why they should have this disposition of thanksgiving in their hearts, because they had been delivered from their sins. Over and over in this book, Paul would remind them that, listen, you are now in Christ. You have been delivered from your sins. Look at chapter 1 and notice verse number 21 and 22. Paul said, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. That was reason for them to be thankful, because they had been delivered from the power of darkness. And that's reason for us, brothers and sisters, to be thankful. Paul would go on to say, he would remind them about the fact that they needed to be thankful because of their hope in heaven. Go back to chapter 1 and verse number 5. He reminded them again of the eternal inheritance that they had. He said, because the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Now, I'm sure these people knew all of this already, but Paul still wanted to remind them. He still was encouraging them. You hold on to what you have in Jesus Christ. You be thankful, and let me tell you why you should be thankful. Paul would go on to say in chapter 2 and verse number 10, you be thankful because you are now complete in Jesus Christ. You're not lacking anything. Paul would remind them of this in chapter 2 and verse number 10. Paul would say, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And he would go on to say in chapter 3 and verse number 15, our main text, he said, you be thankful because now you have peace with Christ. Things in your life now are truly right because you are now right with your Creator. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Time and time again, in this short little letter, Paul would remind the Christians, this is why you need to be thankful. They needed to be thankful because of all the blessings that they had in Jesus Christ. And if that was a reason for them to be thankful, brothers and sisters, that is reason for us to be thankful in our lives. But the question remains, are we truly thankful? It's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm thankful with what I have in Jesus Christ. But are we truly grateful with what God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ? Do we truly take the time to consider how bad and how lost we really were, our spiritual condition when we were lost in our sins, when we were lost in error, when we were separated from God? And the fact that God has delivered us from our sins. Paul makes this picture very clear. And it should be reason for us to always be thankful. Not just some of the time, but to have this mindset each and every day. In Colossians chapter 1, again, he would remind the Christians in verse number 12 and 13. Listen to what he said here. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He was trying to get their mindset on things above and not on things below. For he rescued us. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Time and time again, Paul would remind them, this is why you have reason to be thankful. Do you see that? We can be thankful for a lot of things in our lives. We can be thankful for our homes, and we can be thankful for our jobs and thankful for our clothes and work and things like that. But ultimately, the biggest reason why we need to be thankful is because of who we are in Jesus Christ. That's reason for us to be thankful. And when we have this mindset, it's going to become way more difficult for the devil to try to get us to go away from the will of God and not do what God wants us to do. We have reason to be thankful. We don't have to spend eternity in hell. We can know that we are right with God. We can know that we have a relationship with King Jesus. That's reason for us to be thankful. Now, many of us already know that, if not all of us, we know that. But let's talk about something else here for a second. We know why we should be thankful, but can we maybe just be honest for a minute? Sometimes a lot of people are not really that thankful. And sometimes Christians may not always be the people who should be thankful. We're studying in the Old Testament in Bible class, and the Israelites, time and time again, they complained and they grumbled and they murmured against God, despite everything that God had done for them. And sometimes we may struggle with having this mindset of truly appreciating what God has done for us. Why is it that sometimes we are not as thankful as we need to be? I think when you go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, I think we have some indication of why that may be the case. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, it could be that sometimes we're just not as thankful as we need to be. We don't fully appreciate what we have because Christ is not truly ruling in our hearts. You see, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul would say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Paul was reminding them, listen, Christ has to be head of your life. Christ has to be first in your heart. Christ has to be the one that dictates all the things that you're going to do. And the same will apply to us. He is the one that has absolute power, and he is the one that gets to decide, and he is the one that we ultimately need to follow. He would remind the Christians in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1 that their lives needed to be focused on things above and not on things below. And I think sometimes we can struggle with not truly being thankful because our minds are not truly focused on Jesus Christ and everything that he's given us. Paul would say in Colossians 3 and verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For we have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You see where their mindset needed to be? That's where our mindset needs to be. Being thankful is not just being thankful during Thanksgiving. That's one of my favorite holidays because of all the food. Being thankful is not just merely when we give thanks for lunch or for dinner or for breakfast. Being thankful is not just because it's the holiday season or it's because it's summertime. It's because of who we are in Christ, because we're hidden in Christ, and because of the great things that are to come in the future because of Jesus Christ. And so we could say that maybe sometimes we struggle with this because Christ is not truly ruling in our lives. What do you think about that? Think that's true? Where is Christ in our lives? Are our lives truly hidden in Christ? Or are we just kind of making time for him when it's convenient for us? You know, it could be that if we struggle with this idea of gratitude, of thanksgiving, it could be an indication that our focus is off somewhere. This is what Paul is talking about all throughout the text. Be thankful. In fact, there's some other language in chapter 2 and verse number 7 that I love. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 7. Actually, let's read verses 6 and 7. Paul said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude, being thankful at all times. And it could be that if we struggle with this, that maybe our focus is off somewhere. Maybe this could be a red flag that maybe we have hit the default button and we're acting like that old man again. It could be a warning for us that maybe we have replaced Jesus and he's not first as he needs to be. Instead, what is first in our life is self, stuff, and sin. You see, what got Adam and Eve into trouble, they stopped focusing on God. God had given them everything. He had gave them what they needed. Their lives could have been great. But when they stopped focusing upon the Lord and started listening to the devil and the something else argument, I got something else for you that God can't give you, then that's when they got into trouble. And the devil is going to try to do the same thing with us. And that's why our focus has to be on God, has to be on the things above, and really has to be on the spiritual blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve, they got greedy. And sometimes we can get greedy too. And I guess you could say greed is the opposite of gratitude. A greedy heart is often the reason why some of our homes can struggle. Husband and wife want more and more and more. They have a lot. They are so blessed, and yet they want more and more and more. They're not truly satisfied with all the things that God has already given them. And so they go after more and more. They never really have time for their children. They never really have time for their relationship because they fail to see the blessings that they already have, and they lust after even more. Many times a lack of gratitude is an indication that Christ is not ruling in our hearts. And that's why so many people, unfortunately, are going and doing the things of the devil. When men engage in pornography and get in that type of behavior, it's an indication that there's a lack of gratitude in that man's heart. That man is truly not satisfied with what he has in Jesus Christ and the fact that God has given him a wife. When young people choose not to listen to mom and dad and find themselves rebelling against what God says and what mom and dad want them to do and lie and drink and engage in other wicked behaviors, often because they have just failed to really appreciate what they already have. They failed to see what God has given them. They have failed to appreciate that they have a mom and a father who loves them very much, and ultimately God in heaven who loves them. My friends, if we are struggling with gratitude, if we're struggling with not being thankful, it could be an indication that Christ is not ruling in our hearts the way that he truly needs to be ruling in our hearts. And if we find ourselves struggling in this situation, we need to make some changes immediately. Because the devil, I believe, is going to try to use discontent and cause us not to be satisfied and always looking for something else and getting us so busy that we really don't appreciate what we already have in Christ. And if we find ourselves in that position, we're going to have to make some drastic changes. We're going to have to make some changes immediately. And I believe Paul shows us exactly the changes that we're going to have to do. If you find yourself struggling with being thankful, it could be because Christ is not ruling in your life. And if that is the case, there's some things that you need to do. Number one, let me suggest to you that the word of Christ needs to richly dwell in your heart. That has to be taking place for all of us. And that's what the Apostle Paul would teach in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. As he was talking about being thankful, look at verse 16. He said, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts." Many times we're not as thankful as we should be is because we have forgotten the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And the way that we're going to remember the great blessings that we have, the great promises that we have, what God has already delivered us from, is by making sure that we stay connected to His Word. Most people know that I love to eat, and I like to equate things with food. And I heard somebody say this, and I like the illustration. Somebody said that a lot of times Christians just kind of snack on God's Word. You know, when you get a little bit hungry, or if you're in trouble, or if there's some situation that's going on or some crisis, you'll go to the Bible and pick out a few verses here and there, and you'll make a little bit of time. Well, snacking's not bad, but it's not going to keep you full, and it's not going to get you where you really need to be. We can't just go snacking on God's Word when it's convenient for us or if we find ourselves in trouble or something like that. We need to be feasting upon the Word of God. We need to be eating the Word of God and allowing it to dwell in our hearts so that we will be influenced by the words of the Holy Spirit. And the more we are feasting upon God's Word, the better off we're going to be in defeating the tactics and the snares of the devil. When you look at that armor in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 18, it's all connected to the Word of God, which means that we must stay connected to God's Word. That is how we're going to be successful. And that is how being thankful, I think, can help us in this spiritual battle, because the more we take the time to truly get to know our God and to truly see what He's done and to truly appreciate His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering, His compassion and His forgiveness, we're not going to be interested with anything the devil has to offer us. That's something that we can do to help us to overcome if we're struggling with not being grateful in our lives. Something else that we need to do. If you're struggling with being grateful, man, we need to be worshiping God. In fact, I think people who struggle with being thankful to God probably struggle with worshiping God. Paul would remind them, listen, you need to be worshiping God in verse number 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, worshiping God. Do you see the connection? The more we worship God, the more we're going to fully appreciate what God has already given us. Man, when we're worshiping God, how can you not be thankful? When we sing those songs, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the fruit of the vine, when we are able to give in the collection because God has richly blessed us so much with the material possessions, how can you not be thankful to God? But those who struggle in worshiping God, you can almost guarantee they're not going to be grateful and that they're going to have a hard time truly being thankful with what God has done for them. Something else that we can do if we struggle with this attitude of gratitude and not being thankful to the Lord as much as we should, how about this? Sharing the gospel with others. Sharing and talking about Jesus to others. Paul, as he talked about this attitude of thanksgiving, look at chapter 4. He would ask the saints, he said, in verse number 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Paul's mind was focused on talking to others about Jesus. He recognized the blessings that he had through Jesus Christ. He wanted to share that with others. If you struggle with being thankful or overflowing with gratitude, and you start talking to people about Jesus, and it's going to be hard not to be thankful. It's going to be hard not to fully appreciate what God has done for you and for me and the fact that He has delivered us from the bondage of sin. Being thankful is something that the devil does not want us to be. He doesn't want you to be thankful. He doesn't want you to be content. He doesn't want you to be satisfied. He doesn't want us to be satisfied in Jesus Christ. And that's even more reason for us to be thankful, because Jesus truly has given us everything that we need. And so why do we need to be thankful? Well, we see why we need to be thankful through the text. We see that there's great benefit for us being thankful. Why is being thankful a command? There's great benefit for us. It will help us, number one, to avoid sin. That's what this is all about. We're in a battle, and we're going to have to put on the armor of God, and we're going to have to remember what God has done for us. We're going to have to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And the more we can be thankful and truly appreciate what God has done for us, we're never going to want to go back to that former life. Because we can look back at that former man and see just how wretched we really were and how lost we were. When we truly appreciate that we are born again, that we are new creatures in Christ, that all of our past sins have been washed away. You see, being thankful, I believe, will help us to avoid sin. Because when the devil comes along and says, hey, listen, I got something really good for you, you're going to look at that and say, I don't want that. That's just going to cause me to go right back there. So being thankful, having this mindset, is going to help us to avoid sin. Being thankful to God and truly appreciating what God has done for us, it's going to improve our worship. When we know that God has saved us by his amazing grace, when we come in here, we're going to sing our hearts out. This past weekend, I asked Reuben if I could lead a couple of songs, and he looked at me and he said, no, you cannot lead a couple of songs. My voice may not always be the best, but I tell you one thing I'm going to do. When we gather together as the people of God, I'm going to sing, and I'm going to sing loud, and I don't care who hears me, because I've been saved by God's grace. And that's the least that I can do. And that's what we all need to do. And I know that you guys are doing that. The singing is fantastic. Listen, when we come together and our mindset is on God and what he's already done for us, we're going to give him our entire heart, our full heart. We're going to worship him with all of our being. We're going to shout out our praises to him. We're going to pray like never before. We're going to give like never before, because we know just how blessed we really are. Being thankful to God is a game changer. It will change our worship. It will help us to avoid sin, help us to say no to the devil. And it's going to do something else. It's going to eliminate pride. The devil is full of pride, and that's what he wants us to be like too. But when we are truly thankful with what God has done for us, there's not going to be any room for self. There won't be any room for us. We're going to be filled with gratitude. Our minds are going to be on Christ. Our life is going to be hidden in him. It's not going to be about us. We're going to get out of that little me bubble, and we're going to be focusing on his work and his glory and not ours, because we truly appreciate what God has done for us. Being thankful is going to change relationships. I wanted to change this last point. If I preach a sermon again, I will. It's going to change and improve family relationships, certainly. Look at verse number 18. Paul would go on to say, he said, wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Paul's talking about the family relationship. And listen, as husbands and wives, as moms and dads, as young people, when we're all filled with thanksgiving and are overflowing with gratitude, you know what we're going to do? We're going to treat one another the right way. Husbands are going to love their wives, and wives are going to love their husbands. And we're going to be content, and we're going to be satisfied, and we're going to show the proper honor and respect and love for one another. Being thankful will change every relationship. I put up there just the family relationship, but the more I look at the book of Colossians, being thankful is going to change every relationship. It's going to change the relationship of you in this building, of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul would talk about that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12. He would say, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, why should you forgive your brother and sister in Christ? Because God has forgiven you. And we understand just how good that feels to be forgiven and to know that we can be given a second chance. When we understand how what God has done for us, we're going to show that those same emotions and that same attitude to others. Paul is saying to the saints here, was saying to them, you bear with one another. You forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you do. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. The devil wants local churches to self-destruct. The devil doesn't want us to get along. The devil wants us to devour one another. But when we are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, and we remember what God has done for us and how he is long-suffering and forgiving when we make mistakes, we're going to be able to do the same thing. And it will change all of our relationships, not just our family relationships, but every relationship. Being thankful, my friends, I think is an overlooked tactic to defeating the snares and the arrows of the wicked one. When we truly are thankful with who we are in Jesus Christ, our lives will be changed forever. And we'll see just how good we really have it. And nothing the devil will offer us will ever be able to compare with what Jesus has already given us through his blood. Being thankful is not just some catchy sermon. It's a command. Be thankful. Overflow with gratitude. It's not an option. Something that we are supposed to be. So let me end with a couple of questions. Are we going to be thankful enough to come back here tonight at 5 o'clock to worship together as the people of God? Are we going to be thankful enough to maybe invite someone to services or to reach out to someone and share the gospel with them? And are we going to be thankful enough to say no to sin, to resist the devil so that he will flee? So that we will give glory, honor, and praise to God. But Paul reminded the saints is what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be thankful. Let's make sure we hold on to that mindset. Maybe there's someone here who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, you got reason to be thankful right now because God's mercy and his grace is available to you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and you can have forgiveness of sins today. If you're willing to obey, if you're willing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and to be buried with him as saints were in the first century in baptism, well, God will remove all of your past.